Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go on the world's greatest radio. You are in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. To get in contact with the show, you can call 1-877-932-9766. You can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You can also go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com, hit the Listen Live button, and there you can also like and subscribe, which we would like for you to do. And you can also go to Facebook.com/TalkTainment for your ways to contact the show or listen to the show. Our topic today is improvement or progress in the system of racism, which is white supremacy. And Mr. Fuller has addressed this and is still addressing it. Don't forget that as you listen, give it a thought and hit that donate button, that yellow donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage. That donations are for the second hour only, because it does really cost to produce this. This is the hour that you actually ask for us to do, and Mr. Fuller, who is not compensated for this, and neither am I compensated for it. It's a love to do our part in the fight for justice. But hit that button, $5, $10, $1, whatever it is, $20, $100, whatever it is, hit that so we can continue to do what we've been doing. And there will also be another announcement. I know some people don't like this, but I was asked to emphasize donations, so I'm going to do that until they tell me to stop. 1-877-932-9766 is the number. Let's go to the phone calls before we take another Gmail caller. You are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Okay, so I understand sex with white people is detrimental to the non-white person's brain, but my question is other physical contact also dangerous? Like, let's say, for scenario, you go to a family party, there's a lot of hugging or like salsa dancing with white people, or let's say you're in an acting studio and you have to do a lot of physical contact with white people. I understand, like, is it somewhat dangerous to a lesser degree to have that much physical contact with white people?
Mr.
No.
Cole?
Mm-hmm. No. When you go to a hospital, you have physical contact with white people. You'd better. I mean, you're not going to come out of that hospital. Of course, you might not come out anyway. But, I mean, you do the best you can. But what the code says, no sexual intercourse or sexual play. See, that's that eighth area of activity. Until what? Until white supremacy is ended. That should be the deal. All in, now oceans of people are all right, as we speak right now, motels, wedding ceremonies and whatnot, more than ever. White and black, white and non-white, I mean, all embracing each other in sexual intercourse and or what we call, the code calls, sexual play. Kissing, hugging, petting, I mean, you know, all forms of sexuality and anti-sexuality. All right, anti-sexuality being sometimes what people call homosexuality, okay? According to the code, that's anti-sex, but that's another story we can get into in depth. But I'm saying anything sexual, I mean, for pleasure, should be no-no. That's a thing you volunteer to do. You don't curse people out or say anything disparaging around people who are doing it. I mean, you see them do it. I mean, you got members of your family, I mean, who are so-called, quote-unquote, married, which they're not, because, you know, in the system of white supremacy, that is a power relationship. And the white person is always in the position of power, regardless of where they are or how they feel. The white person, by ordainship, they've been ordained in the system of white supremacy to be in a supreme position, whether they want to be there or not. So the person in the supreme position, a supreme position, not an equal, that white person becomes a child abuser. It's like the masters of a prison death camp, which is what white supremacy is, having sexual intercourse with the prisoners of war. We're in a death camp. The whole world is. The white supremacists have made it that way. They worship death. All right? And mostly they worship the deaths, not only among each other, they glamorize it, but they definitely worship the deaths of non-white people. And so that war is continuing. So any white person that has sexual intercourse or engages in sexual play with a non-white person, black, brown, red, yellow, beige, tan, is engaging in child abuse. Because the non-white person is in the position of a child. I am a child. Doesn't make any difference about my age. Once you're a prisoner of war, you're in a childlike position. And you are treated that way. This is why black people are baffled about how they get shot down on the highways. Prisoners of war don't run. You run, you're dead. You don't fuss, you don't fight. And you don't flee.
Mm-hmm.
But since we are not, you know, nobody told us that, but I'm telling you this, and the evidence shows that it's true. I mean, it's happening somewhere right now. We keep demonstrating and marching and say Black Lives Matter and all like that. Black Lives Matter, yes, they do, but only to people who don't matter in the system of white supremacy. You know, black lives do matter, but only to those who don't matter. That's the prison system. Prisoners of war don't matter. Matter to whom? To people who are the masters of the prison. They're not supposed to matter. See, that's how we have to look at it. We are prisoners of war. The war has never been over.
Mm-hmm.
So when you jump in the car and go tearing down the highway, and then you finally run out of gas, and then jump out with your hands up and you get shot, even though you had your hands up, we get stunned by that. You say, well, they treated us wrong. You were treated wrong when you were put in captivity. You're just a prisoner of war trying to escape, and you'll be shot. Anybody that knows anything about being a prisoner of war knows that if you try to escape, you go anywhere near that fence, you're dead. If you run, you're dead. You're supposed to be dead according to the rules of war. We have to understand these rules. See, we're not told this, but I'm saying it, and the evidence proves it. So don't fuss, don't fight, don't flee. All right? Once they spot you and start chasing you, I mean, hey, you're a prisoner of war. Put your hands up, even if you get shot. That's the only thing you can do anyway, because chances are they're going to shoot you anyhow,
mm-hmm.
okay, in many cases.
Yes.
Some cases they won't. But this is what has to be understood. Now, did I deviate from the question or not?
No.
Sometimes I do.
I think you answered the question. But one thing does come to mind, and I don't know if you saw this, Mr. Fuller, but it did make national news, and that was a bunch of black teens were in a car. I do forget what city and what state it was in, but two white police or law enforcement officers came up and asked them to stop or whatever they were doing, and they were in the car and they began to drive away. And as they were, one of the officers took out his revolver, shot at the car, and it killed one of the black youth, I think a 15 or 16-year-old boy, shot him in the head and killed him. Well, anyway, they went up on charges, the law enforcement officers. And yesterday, I believe, the judge that was on the case convicted the law enforcement officer of murder. He was convicted because he said that basically he was fearing for his life and that his partner was also, but his partner got up and said that he wasn't fearing for his life at all. They were trying to apprehend the person, but there was no way that he was fearful of his life. So the judge, based on that comment by the other law enforcement officer, sentenced the one that did the shooting to life in prison. My question is, does that surprise you? Is that some type of justice, or what are your thoughts on that? I'm figuring that you did not see that news that was broadcast by NBC News.
I saw it in the paper.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I think the place was Dallas, Texas.
Oh.
A year ago, but they just had the trial just now.
Okay.
A few days ago, and that was the verdict. And according to the code, that white person, under the system of white supremacy, that's how I look at it, has just made a white sacrifice, see? But that's not going to be the usual thing, okay? Because, you know, as prisoners of war, you know, sometimes the warden of the prison will actually indict, among themselves, the prison masters. That even happened during what you call plantation slavery times. Sometimes the master of the plantation would go out and take one of what they call the slave breakers. They had white men who were assigned to be assigned to beat certain slaves who were considered to be bad examples of what a slave should be. Frederick Douglass talked about that, I think, in a chapter of his autobiography. On the eastern shore of Maryland, there was a slave breaker. That's what they call them. And this one was named Covey, I believe, C-O-V-E-Y. And he was notorious. I mean, his name got around all over the eastern shore of Maryland back during the plantation slavery days. They said that Frederick Douglass was an incorrigible slave. In other words, he was hard to handle. So they say, we'll send for a slave breaker. We'll send for Covey. All right? Covey is known everywhere. He can handle any of these Negroes, all right, who think that they're pretty tough, that they're pretty bad. We turn Covey loose on them, and they get tame real quick. So I understand that Frederick Douglass wrote about his interaction with Covey, all right, as a slave breaker. But the main point that I'm making is that every now and then, the masters of the prison, the ones who make the most major decisions among all the other decision makers, because every law enforcement officer who is white, all right, if he's a racist, which the code book calls a race soldier, he will kill black people, and there's a lot of them out there. I mean, you know, and that's their assignment. I'm wearing this uniform with one purpose. I'm going to kill black people, as many as I can, before I hang up my badge and gun. All right? That's how I chose to be what I am. All right? I didn't tell anybody this, but a lot of people that I work with might understand that that's my mission. All this other stuff is just rehearsals for when I unload on four or five black people, or at least one in my career, before I hang up my badge and gun. Why? Because I'm dedicated to white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dedication. And every non-white person should look at it like that. But in answer to the question, every now and then, in the system of white supremacy, the white supremacists themselves, and really on an ongoing basis worldwide. They have what you call, and the book covers this, the textbook, white sacrifices. In other words, they say, hey, every now and then, to make it look like, you know, white supremacy doesn't exist, we'll sacrifice a few of our own, all right? That goes with the business. See, white supremacy is a business. In a business, you have what? You have profits and losses. In the restaurant business, in any kind of business, in the mafiosa, this is the business we have chosen, as Hyman Roth said in Godfather 2. He says, hey, and in this business, which is a brutal business, white supremacy is a brutal business, I mean, sometimes, you know, you even have to sacrifice some of your own, okay? I mean, Michael Corleone said, for the good of the business, for the good of the business, in Godfather 2. What did he tell his own brother? Indirectly, hey, you're finished. You're finished. Why? Because even though you're my blood, so, and you're a member of the family, you got to go.
Got to go. So let me ask this before we go to our 15-minute break. So this person, this police, or rather law enforcement officer, in part in reference to white supremacy being also a business, was a necessary sacrifice. Is that what you were saying? To make
absolutely,
it look good?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, white supremacists don't want to sacrifice anything, but they know that in everything, even when you're making an automobile, I mean, it's going to be shavings on the floor. I mean, you know, you're going to have some steel that's left over that
yes.
you can't use. I mean, it's called, you know, it's just the losses. It goes, and they write it off, right?
Yes, sir.
They, you know, they say that, hey, well, this goes with the business. And they do the same thing in war, because racism is war. So in a war, every general knows, yeah, we're going to lose a few. We're going to take this beach next week. We're going to take this beach. We already figured it out. It's going to take 4 days to win it, to win the beach. And we're going to lose, or we're going to commit 1,000 people, and we're going to lose 200. But, man, for the profits that we're going to gain from having taken that beach, it's going to be astronomical.
Okay.
Even though we're going to lose 200 of our soldiers in the process.
I see.
Okay. They do that.
They do that. Okay. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to mention, and I did mention it in the first hour, and that is, it's your time to travel. It's your time to travel. And this is a good program. Ricky Tyus is the co-host of this, and he gives you all the latest information on the world of travel. And you really should, if you plan on taking a trip. It doesn't have to be necessarily to a foreign country, but you should know about the rules and what's going on, but also travel here in the continental so-called U.S. You need to latest information, deals, and so forth, what you can do. Your time to travel, and this show is exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com, as all the shows that we have here, and all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on programs, and there is a complete list of what we have. Do that. All that from TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am proudly the co-host of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. Our main topic today is improvement or progress. Mr. Fuller answered that question in the first hour. If you don't have that, you can go back and listen to that again. This show, by the way, will be rebroadcast at 10 p.m. But what are your thoughts on that? You have a question or VGQ on that? Call in at 1-877-932-9766. Also, listen to us this way. Go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage. Hit the Listen Live button. You're right there. And while you're there, like and subscribe. Also, I said I was going to do this, and we are going to do this and have a special announcement. Donate button. Hit the donate button. Yeah, I know we get tired of that, but we need this second hour or your donations for the second hour only. The second hour. That's what we're pushing because it does cost to do this, especially if we get calls from all over the United States. Somebody's got to pay for it because nothing is free. So if this program really means a lot to you, then hit the donate button. Mr. Fuller and myself are not compensated for the time that we do this. So since you did want this, and we are very glad to do that, hit that donate button so we can continue. Okay, Mr. Fuller from the Gmails. Let's see here. This comes from Roop Dog. He said this. In a shocking case where an elderly man exposed himself when he urinated on a little girl and called her the N-word, an arrest have been made. Now, a police official and prosecutors have refused to officially identify the man who was arrested, but a Grand Rapids police captain spoke to a local media person where Dean was identified, and a man does appear in jail records. Dean is also a registered Michigan sex offender, albeit a non-compliant one. David Allen Dean, 60, was named as the man arrested for urinating on a 5-year-old African-American girl playing in an alley in Grand Rapids. Wednesday evening, he's alleged to have approached the children and called the girl an N-word with an ER on it, then urinated on her. He is in the Kent County jail up there. Though he's being held in jail, charges against him do not appear on the jail's website as of last Thursday. Prosecutors told local media they are weighing charges, and while not naming Dean, they said the suspect has a history of mental illness. Here's the question. Mr. Fuller, why, when suspected racist white supremacists are accused of crime, mental illness becomes a defense?
Oh, well, that is a defense because racism itself is an insane proposition. You know, what is racism? White supremacy. What is white supremacy? Mistreating people or treating people like they're criminals because of color. Also, you have, you know, people in very high positions who say that if you are a person with black skin, you are a toilet. So what do you do to a toilet? The little girl is a toilet, okay, in the minds of the white supremacists. This is universal. That's what a black person is. A urinal, a toilet, you know, a commode bowl. That's what that is, walking down the street toward you. If you're white, you're taught that. That is nothing. That is something to be disdained. That's something to have off to the side somewhere. Jiffy John, I mean, a portable toilet hidden over there in the trees. Hide that thing. I mean, you know, that toilet. I mean, that's not anything to, you know, that's not a shrine or anything. That's something that you hide. You know, even want people to see you going in there. All right? Okay. That's what these things that we have recognized, we call them in order to make them feel better. We call them people, but that's not what they really are. They are less than animals. Even the animals we bring out and parade in the streets and whatnot and show off. Okay? And we'll do a few of them like that, a few of our chosen ones. But basically, when you're looking at a black person, you are looking at a commode walking down the street. That's what that is. And what do you do to a commode? You treat it like it's a commode. End of story. See, black people have to see themselves the way that the white supremacists see us every day when they pass us on the street. Here comes a toilet. That's what that is, a walking toilet. And if I have to relieve myself, that's the thing that I'm going to do it in.
Hmm. Mm. Wow. Whew. In those situations, what can we, or what do we learn, you know, from that? Or how are we supposed to interpret that?
Interpret it just the way I saw it. I said it. See, when I walk down the street, I think that that's what they're thinking. Okay?
But does that make it true?
Exactly what they're thinking.
Okay.
If they're white supremacists, I shouldn't even be in existence. I'm just something that you tolerate in existence. I shouldn't even exist. I shouldn't be walking down the street taking up the sidewalk. That's why sometimes they almost walk right into you. I mean, you know, move. My goodness, I'm a white person. Get out of my way. You're not supposed to be on this planet, Negro. What are you doing breathing? Where'd you come from? Who created you? Who would have the nerve to create something like you? I mean, who would make that kind of mistake? You're nothing but a walking mistake. My God, deliver me. But since you're here, I'll put up with you. But I ain't going to put up with you very much. That's it. That's the whole philosophy in the mind of a white supremacist. If we don't understand that, then we don't understand the world that we're in.
So when we speak about, or it was raised in the form of a question, improvement or progress, and you've been around for a while, you've identified what you feel is the problem, and you've written a book to try and get people to understand what it is and how it works. Am I to understand that in all that you've seen and gathered in the information, that you have not seen any improvement or progress among black folks?
None. We've been made more comfortable, but unless people haven't noticed, a whole lot of animals have been made more comfortable. In fact, you have people who are, you know, in animal cruelty associations. I mean, you have all kind of organizations. You have TV personalities who talk about save the animals, save the squirrels, save the elephants, save the rhinos, the white rhinos in particularly, you know, in particular. You know, hey, you know, put people in jail. I mean, give them a life sentence for killing a rhino for his horn. Now, we should, yes, I say save all species, because we didn't create anything. So anything that's been created serves a purpose, okay? Any type of birds and whatnot, hey, you might eat some chickens and all like that, but you don't kill all the chickens. Try to exterminate all the chickens so that there would be no more chickens, okay? Chickens serve a purpose. Every bird serves a purpose. An owl serves a purpose, whether we know the purpose or not. So that's why we should look at it. See, so you don't want to exterminate anything, including roaches. And a lot of people will say, well, yeah, well, definitely exterminate every roach. Roaches definitely don't have any business. They're not good for anything at all. I mean, you won't find a roach that's good for anything, any species. But just because we don't know enough about roaches, we don't know that maybe 15, 20 years down the road, and I've been talking about this for years, because, you know, roaches, you're talking about a roach. But maybe 10, 15, 50 years from now, or maybe tomorrow, someone in a laboratory, some teenage scientist, might discover by accident that you can extract some of the filth that goes into a roach. Because roaches eat all kinds of filth, okay? They walk right on top of it and all like that. They don't have any problem with it, okay? But you might extract something from an ordinary roach and mix it with something else and cure instantly 12 different types of cancer.
Wow.
Somebody might do that. So, see, people should be careful about talking about exterminating anything.
Okay.
So they're correct about that.
Okay.
But what the white supremacists do when it comes to black people, they don't try to exterminate us. They're not going to do that.
Okay, got to leave that there for this. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the Talk to him at radio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to speak about John McCain, redlining, and more of your calls. All this and more coming up next.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Our base topic today is improvement or progress in the system, which is racism, white supremacy. And Mr. Fuller has addressed that. But right now we just want to pause for a moment to have Mr. Fuller reflect on the late U.S. Senator John McCain from Arizona. And Mr. Fuller, does it surprise you, or would it be a shock, the way that the leader of this nation has treated Mr. McCain?
No. No surprise.
Why aren't you surprised by that?
Because saying disparaging things about people, making jokes, really, about people, that's what comic books are about. I mean, comic books are supposed to make people laugh, but one thing I learned in some of the first comic books that I looked at was that you hit a person over the head and make a knot on their head. And that's supposed to be funny. All right? Now, when you learn that at an early age, making disparaging remarks about people, insulting people, a lot of comedians, I mean, hey, they walk across the stage and say all kinds of terrible things about people. And they are called what? Comedians. I'm here to make you laugh. Laugh at what? Somebody else's misfortune. All right? So when you have a whole society that is made up of making jokes about people's misfortune, and not only that, causing people to be in unfortunate circumstances, and then taking that to the nth degree and inventing something called racism, which is the ultimate thing so far that you can do, you shouldn't be surprised at any type of thing being said or done against anybody in this society called the system of racism that is non-constructive, that is disparaging, that's supposed to make a person feel bad. If it makes a person feel bad, do it. Why? Because that is what we enjoy. That's the doctrine of racism. What are you doing feeling good? If you feel good, you do it artificially on some drugs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to feel good just breathing fresh air and treating people correctly and all like that. No, you don't feel good doing that. You feel good when you shoot somebody. Ah, that's when you get your high. That's why black people who have picked that up, mostly young black people, and a lot of older ones,
but what
running all up and down the street,
mm-hmm.
firing guns, shooting guns and whatnot, watching people fall, blood running out of their mouths, and looking at it and running down the street with a smoking gun saying, ha ha,
yes.
that was great.
Okay.
That was great.
But what I've seen concerning Mr. McClain has not been a laughing matter by anybody that I've seen on television or heard on radio, so I don't know what laughing would have to do with that. If anything, in my opinion, VGQ, it seemed petty that the man in the White House would just ignore or do things that way. I just don't understand that. That's why I asked you that question. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Fuller, Bobby Fuller, and Bobby.
Yes.
How are you doing today?
Good, sir. Could you, there's okay. Something the matter with your, okay, go ahead now.
I have a question, and I'm just going to set it up this way. But before I do that right quick, I'm going to just make a quick comment to what was just said. Basically, based on historical information and evidence information, death culture, people who actually worship death and get off and enjoy watching people suffer, it's not African-based, it's not based on people who are considered black. It's something, it's a culture that was imposed on us and has been impressed on us for several centuries by those people who claim to be white or white supremacists, who I consider to be the cult of Saturn, which is the death cult, and they enjoy that type of stuff. So my question is for you, Baba Fuller, and also for Mr. Bobby. Given that I myself, Lance, I am of hashtag Truth Rising, Truth Rising 911 on BitChute, given that I'm a targeted individual and I'm being subjected to fourth generation warfare in a place like Bakersfield, California, where I'm at, and I've been followed, and this has been happening to me everywhere I go within America, okay? I've been to Washington, D.C. before, where I believe, am I right, is this where this broadcast is being held from?
No, sir. Mr. Fuller and I are in two separate locations.
So you're in two separate locations. So, okay, so this is for whomever's in Washington, D.C. So given that Washington, D.C. is a sovereign state outside of America, correct? And given that this cult of Saturn, as I know it to be, and as many people know it to be, that's one of the main bases, why would they be allowing so many black people, so many Africans in America to populate the Washington, D.C., as they make up about 50% of the population? And also, that's really not the question to that extent, but the main question is, why would they allow so many prominent people classified as black to exist there for decades and even transition there in some cases, such as Dick Gregory, and so on and so forth, and several other people who still operate there within the African-American or black community?
Okay, let's give Mr. Fuller a chance to answer that there.
Well, if I understand the question, you know, the system of white supremacy is the system of white supremacy. It doesn't make any difference. Lines on maps. There's no such thing as America in the system of white supremacy. That's just a word. That's a concept. It's a wonderful concept, okay? In fact, it's a desirable concept. Because it means it's synonymous with the word justice, but justice doesn't exist anywhere. There's no such thing as Africa or Asia or Asian people or African people. And it certainly isn't such thing as American people, according to what I have written, based on what words should mean. See, if you're an African, you're supposed to be a person that practices justice. Otherwise, why be one? If you don't practice justice, why call yourself an African? That's what that word should mean. If you're an Asian, why call yourself an Asian and you don't practice justice? Because it's impossible to be an Asian and you don't practice justice. And why call yourself an American if you don't practice justice? And nobody can practice justice according to logic, in a system of white supremacy. You can't have white supremacy and justice in the same universe or on the same planet at the same time. It doesn't compute. It's not logical. So you either have justice or non-justice, and white supremacy is non-justice because it's designed to mistreat people. That's what it's designed to do. And that's the dominant power on the entire planet. So it doesn't have anything to do with Bakersfield, California. It doesn't have anything to do with Washington, D.C. It doesn't have anything to do with what population is where. in the known universe at any given time. Black people being here, black people being there, white people being... White supremacy is everywhere where you have black people in the known universe. All right? So it doesn't make any difference. White supremacy is white supremacy. That's what you call it. It's just one government. It's not like there are several governments to choose from. It's just one. And the name of that government is the system of white supremacy, not the American government. The American government doesn't exist. The African government doesn't exist. And the Asian government doesn't exist. Well, what government does exist if these governments don't exist? The system of white supremacy. According to what? Neely Fuller? No. According to all the evidence, all the logic. Those white people who believe in and who practice white supremacy are the government of the entire planet. Doesn't make any difference where they happen to be. Even when they are asleep, even when they are drunk, they're still the government. Is any white person you see who believes in and who practices white supremacy is the government, in capital letters. That's the only government. There is no other. According to what? Neely Fuller? I'm going to say it again. No. Check the evidence and see if that's true or false, because there's no such thing as being in between on that. None of those statements that I just made, they're either true or false. I made a lot of statements. But don't pay any attention to what Neely Fuller says. Check the statements that he just said and see if each one of those statements qualify as the truth. And if they don't, then say what is true and continue to do so.
Okay. We are speaking to improvement or progress in the system of racism, which is white supremacy, Neely Fuller. Mr. Fuller has been addressing that as he has your questions. But right now, we need to address his book. Mr. Fuller, your book.
Go to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com website. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of a compensatory counter-racist code. There are several titles. I say they are all equal titles, but the most explicit one is in the smallest print on the revised expanded edition of the book. It's called A Textbook Workbook for Thought, Speech, and or Action for Victims of Racism. And of course, racism is described as white supremacy. There's no other form of racism except white supremacy. You can't have two supremes or three supremes or four supremes, unless you're talking about a singing group or something, at the same time. Something is either at the top or it's not. Something is either more powerful or it isn't. So among the non-white people of the known universe, the white people who have chosen to be white supremacists are the smartest and most powerful people on the planet in 2018, by all of the evidence. All the evidence shows this. Those white people, not all white people, some white people presumably are not white supremacists. We want to make sure to say that. You presume that. You may not be able to identify who is and who isn't, but you just assume. It's a logical assumption that some, like babies and like senile people, people who don't know a spoon from a fork, but they're white, they can't be white supremacists because they don't know one color from another. All right? A newborn white baby doesn't know one color from another, so they can't practice white supremacy. But any white person who is able to practice white supremacy may not be a white supremacist. But if you're a victim of racism, you should suspect that that white person most likely is. Why? Because that's the only government on the planet worthy of the name government. But this book is for the victims of white supremacy. And what an individual person on a daily basis, suggestions about what he or she can do to replace that system with a system of justice. That's what the book is for. You can go to producejustice.com, and what will come up on the screen is the instructions for getting the book. And if you wish to get the extension of the basic book, a supplement to it called the Counter-Racist Word Guide. Some people get both books. And also, recently I put up the original copy because some people like the original, even though the revised expanded edition includes everything that's essential that was in the original. But some people like to have the original too, for whatever reason they wish to have it. But that's there. Go to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com.
Okay. Now, very quickly, because we do have a call, can you get the book in Canada and the UK?
As of now, I've been told yes.
Okay, good.
Right.
Okay.
Because that waxes and wanes for some reason. Every now and then, people say they couldn't get it. Okay, and so I have somebody that works on that, and then they get it back up.
Okay.
But if you just go to producejustice.com, you should be able to get it in Canada and the UK as of here in August.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Neely Fuller quickly. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
I hear a beeping.
Caller? No caller? Okay. Let's do a little review here before we go into redlining. Now, you know that we are pushing for donations, so you're going to hear that quite a bit on this show, only for the second hour. So tolerate us, dig in your pockets, your wallets, whatever you have, your purses, and get this thing going so we can cover the second hour of the compensatory concept. These are the donations for the second hour only. Okay. Mr. Fuller said today that one of the things that we should not do is never ask for an apology, never ask for love, and never ask for respect. When communicating with people, don't tell any lies. Number two, never withhold constructive information. We've learned that. And we've also learned the that there's a book out, a movie called Goodbye Uncle Tom, 1971 version. You could get that on YouTube. And Brother Mirto from the French Guiana, so-called French Guiana, said that on his site there is it's called Racism, a History. So those are some of the things that we have learned or talked about today. We have a caller? Okay. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please, quickly.
Yes, Mr. Fuller. Good morning, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Body. One of the definitions of propaganda is the ability to convince people who are victimized by the very system to support that system and see it as good. I wanted to ask Mr. Fuller, in the area of economics, we have to go to work in the white supremacist system to meet our basic needs and to get our just to live. We have to pay our light bill, we have to pay a water bill, we have to pay a gas bill, we have to go to work, we have to eat food. White supremacists control our resources. So they're going to use that money to keep us victimized. So how? And my question is how, and me understanding the code, like I think I do, one area of activity, once I control you in one area of activity, I'm automatically going to have control of you in all the other eight areas of activity. So by having control of us in economics, for example, if I don't find a way to generate my own electricity, well, I don't have to pay a light bill. But the light bill company is going to use that money to keep me oppressed. So unless I figure out a way to break free of the economic slavery, because slavery never ended that we're in, can I even hope to defeat white supremacy?
Well, you do the best you can in a prison system. Think of yourself as being a prisoner of war. A prisoner of war is probably given a little something or another. You know, if you know how a prison is run, just think of a prison, because that's where we all should think of ourselves as being. That's where I always keep myself. My mind is that I am prison. I am in prison. I'm a prisoner of war. I've already been made a prisoner of war. I'm not in the process of becoming a prisoner. I was born in prison, okay? So there's what you call an economic system in a prison. You do the best you can. Now, the best you can means what? You take in what you can, what you're allowed to have, and you use it for the most constructive purpose that you can think of. Don't buy anything to show off. That's one good, excellent thing that the code book says. Never buy anything for show-off purposes unless you're in show business, because you're not going to get any return on that investment. Showing off your new car and all like that, you don't get a return on that. That's a false high, just like cocaine. You're driving down the street in a car that you are working three jobs to pay for, you know, but you bought that car not for transportation. You bought it to show off. To show off to whom? To whomever happens to be looking. That doesn't make sense. That makes no sense at all. You buy a car for transportation and service purposes only, and you keep it for as long as you can that it will render that service to you. You don't do anything for show-off purposes. Why? Because as a prisoner of war, you can't afford to. Prisoners of war is just showing off to basically whom? Other prisoners of war. There's no return on that investment. Anybody who's in prison knows that, who understands what greater confinement is. You're showing off, you know, if you get a tattoo or whatever. I mean, you're showing off. Showing off to whom? And what are you supposed to get in return? Counter-racist science is about you don't do anything without a constructive purpose. That's basic economics. Economics is not just about money. We think, when we think of economics, we usually think of money. Money is just a tool of economics. And what is that tool for? To help you, you use your time and energy. So basic economics is time and energy. We all have some time and we all have some energy, or we couldn't exist. So you want to use all of your time and all of your energy to do what? Have a constructive result. If somebody wants you to buy something, first thing you should think about in those two things that you should always think about every minute of the day, constructive, non-constructive. So somebody says, well, why don't you go out and buy such and such a thing? Okay, if I buy this thing that you say that I should buy, is it going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect? And if it's going to have a constructive effect, show me how. Show me what return I'm going to get on that thing, whatever it is that you said that I should buy. What is going to be the constructive result? It's real simple. It's not complicated at all in this prison system. Because basically, for a prisoner of war, everything is pretty simple. Because, I mean, you're dealing with simplicity. I mean, right there in your face. And you have to keep it that way if you're going to absolutely figure out a way not to be a prisoner of war. You look at everything just the way it is, and it's all pretty dismal. So you make the best of a terrible situation. There's no way to rig that system that you're in a prison, if you're a prisoner of war. There's not too much you can do against the system that you're in, except try to erode the entire system and have all your efforts directed toward that in every area of activity. Economics, your time and energy, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. In all of those nine areas of activity, that's your economic system.
That's your economic system. Okay, well, looks like we have just about come to the close of this hour. So let me say this. Thank you, listeners, for the pleasure of your time. If we didn't get to your calls, sorry about that. We'll try to do better the next time. We've been talking about improvement or progress in the system of racism and white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and radio the way it should be heard. Next week, I think we're going to be talking about redlining, but make sure that you stay tuned. TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening.